Sarva Shastra Vipiyusha Sarva Vedaika Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya Sarva Lokaika Drikpada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kalidwanta Uditaritya Shri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Pataya Prima Varshat Shadayati Sarvada Sarva Sevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostu Me Madeka Bandho Mat Sangin Madguru Mad Mahadana Mad Nistaraka Mad Bhagya Madananda Namostu Te Asadu Saduta Dayin Atini Chochata Kara Amamuncha Kadachin Mam Fem Narit Kanta Yog Spura Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya The text is which?
17.
Okay, 17. Okay. Divi Spishal Hema Kirita Kotibi Kotibi Niruda Kashtal Spuradanga Dabujal Gam kampa yantau charanaik pade pade Kotiya sukhanch yarkam atitya tastratuhu Divi spishal Touching the sky Hema Golden Kirita of their helmets, Kotibihi, with the crests, Niruddha, blocked, Kashtau, the directions, Spurat, brilliant, Angada, bracelets, Bujao, on whose arms? Gam, the earth. Kampayantao, shaking. Charanai, with their feet. Pade, pade, at every step. Katya, with their waists. Sukanchiya, with beautiful decorated belts. Arkam, the sun. Atidya, surpassing. Tasta tuhu, they stood. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Their bodies became so tall that they seemed to kiss the sky with the crests of their golden crowns. They blocked the view of all directions, and while walking, shook the earth at every step. Their arms were adorned with brilliant bracelets, and they stood as if covering the sun with their waists, which were bound with excellent and beautiful girdles. Purport. In the demoniac way of civilization, people are interested in getting a body constructed in such a way that when they walk on the street, the earth will tremble, and when they stand, it will appear that they cover the sun in the vision of the four directions. If a race appears strong in body, their country is materially considered to be among the highly advanced nations of the world. That is Rakshasa civilization. Where are the Rakshasas? Mythology. Maybe there were some Rakshasas on the earth 5,000 years ago. No. The predominant culture in the world today is Rakshasa civilization. And the less prominent countries in the world are trying to follow that Rakshasa civilization. They're devouring, Rakshasas are man-eaters. So these people are eating anything indiscriminately, and they prize strong body. If somebody has a strong body, is physically powerful, can dominate other people, then he's considered great. This is Rakshasa civilization. But these are the Adi Rakshasas, the Adi Daityas, the original demons on the first face of the earth, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. If you want to be a real demon, follow their example. They can tell you how to be a first, they can show you how to be a first class demon. You know, not like some Hell's Angel, scrubby beard on his face, ugly pot belly, cigar in his mouth, riding on a motorcycle. This is not a big demon. This is ugly. But these demons are beautiful, very attractive, very opulent. Gold bangles, gold armlets, everything very attractive, actually. And this kind of demonic power, actually, the power of a strong body, is an opulence. It's originally the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Balaishwarya. Bala, Ojas, Tejas, these are opulences of the Personality of Godhead. Strength, physical strength of the body, which is mostly muscular strength. Men, even women nowadays, they practice muscle building. They lift weights and do various special exercises to make their bodies look strong. But what they're just doing is building up muscles. So bodily strength is that strength. But there's also vigor. There's also mental strength, sensory strength. They all have different terminology in Sanskrit. Ojas, Tejas, Sahas. These are different kinds of strength. And these are opulences of the Personality of Godhead. Of course, Narayan looks opulent. He has a big body. He's a big man. But Krishna, even little Krishna, even as a child, displayed these same strengths. He could suck out, as a tokena, jiva haranam yaraluki kayas, trimasi kasya chapata, shakatopavrita, yadringatan tadagatena divisbishurva, Unmulanam Twarjananayor Anyatana Bhavyam. As a little infant, Tokena, he was a few months old, he was able to show his strength, his physical strength, by sucking out the live air of Putana. Sometimes a child breastfeeding causes some pain to the mother, pinches or bites or sucks too hard. Krishna did this to the extreme. He sucked out the life of this demoness, witch, Ulukika, woman who was a tantric, who was specialist in killing babies. So normally, the babies were her prey. But this baby was stronger than her. And Krishna does, even at the age of I don't know how many months, he demonstrated his great power. That Bhima, big man Bhima, most powerful warrior, stronger than 10,000 elephants, He was able to kill a few Rakshasas with his bare hands. And for that, he was glorified. Little Krishna did that. He took care of Rakshasas with his bare hands before he was 1 year old. Trimasi Kasya. And when he was 3 months old, so he was younger than that, but later when he was 3 months old, he was under the Shakata, the cart. Ritual was going on, and his mother left him under the cart. He was sleeping. What was the occasion? Balaram's birthday or something? Don't remember. It wasn't his birthday because he was 3 months old. It wasn't Krishna's birthday. It says he was 3 months old. Trimasikasya. I remember he had a birthday every 3 months. With his foot, he knocked down that heavy cart. It was actually a demon disguised as the cart. So he killed the demon by kicking him with his foot. And then when the cart fell down on top of him, his mother and father and everybody were terrified. The child was hurt. But no hurt. Krishna was so strong, even at 3 months old, that nothing could touch him. We have the myth of Superman. You know, he came from Krypton, the planet, in a spaceship. And even as an infant, nothing could hurt him. But Krishna, he's the original Superman, even at 3 months old. He was wandering around. Of course, I don't know why he was wandering around. His mother had tied him up. Somehow he just, while tied up to the mortar, he just started crawling. He dragged the mortar behind him, crawling around in the courtyard. He just wouldn't stay tied up. And he wandered while crawling. He managed to pull the huge mortar, much bigger than him, between these two Arjun trees. How could they be pulled down like that? Nobody could understand. How did Krishna manage to pull out these two trees? Somebody mentioned that there was a typhoon somewhere on some island or someplace, and all the trees were, or maybe a hurricane, a tornado. Tornado I've seen in North Carolina, how a tornado just rips trees out of the ground like toothpicks. The trees get ripped to shreds. Not an atomic bomb, it's just a tornado that lasts 1 or 2 minutes. And every tree in its path is splintered into little pieces, ripped apart. That's how powerful it is. Knocks down big buildings, anything in its way. But so there was one tornado, I think, in one place, and all the trees were destroyed, except for the Arjuna trees. I don't know what you call this tree in India, or Arjuna tree. It has a name? Arjuna. Okay, you have here?
Yeah.
The roots are very strong. The tornado, someone saw, the tornado knocked down all the other trees, but not the Arjuna trees. So that's part of the pastime. Those are the trees that Krishna pulled down just while crawling on the ground and pulling this big mortar behind him. Even a tornado can't pull out these trees. He pulled them out. Still an infant. So that's the original source of all strength, is in Krishna. And even more in Krishna Gopal than in Narayan. He's showing his opulence of strength. So when the original demons manifest their strength, it's a reflection of Krishna's strength. Therefore, it's beautiful and attractive. If you're going to be a demon, be a Vedic demon. Learn the standard of how to be a proper demon. How to be a beautiful, attractive demon. Not just some ugly, cigar-smoking, pot-belly, scrubbly, Hell's Angel. These are attractive personalities. Of course, I don't know of any devotees of Hiranyakashipu. Ravana has his devotees in Sri Lanka.
they issued a postage stamp in commemoration of Ravana, because he's the apparently the patron saint of Sri Lanka, Ravana. But I don't know any place where they worship Hiranyakashipu. Maybe somebody, some crazy person, may be worshiping him. But we'll read how these two demons became so powerful, not just physical power, but their influence over other people. That's the meaning of Aishwarya, the word literally. Someone who can control is an Isha. And that power of a person to control is called Aishwarya. Ishvara, Aishwarya, the power of an Ishvara. So an Ishvara, not only he can flex his muscles, but he can manipulate other things and other people, money and people. He can make people do what he wants them to do. He can make them do it even though they don't want to do it. That's the power of an Ishvara. Look at that power in Hiranyakashipu. As we'll read later on in this, well, I guess when we get to the seventh canto, how the demigods had to come to his court after being defeated by him. They were his servants. They were singing his praises, serving him menially. Even Narada Muni. Who can control Narada? He's completely independent, mendicant. Nobody has any influence over him. But Hiranyakashipu made Narada sing his praises in the court. That's how powerful he was. So this is appropriate for the pastimes. Now Krishna has somebody who it's interesting, whom it will be interesting to fight, a worthy opponent. Who is Lord Narayan going to fight with? Nobody will dare to try to fight with him in Vaikuntha. And in the material world, all these mortals are too puny. It's not interesting to try to fight with them. So he had to send his Vaikuntha servants, Jayan Vijay, to the earth so he could have someone worth fighting with. That's one way of looking at it. And we see here in the following verses and in later descriptions in the seventh canto how worthy to be opponents of the Lord these great demons were. How powerful, how attractive their power was, and how influential they were. This is Krishna's arrangement. The material world is basically for material activity anyway. It's the place where those who don't want to cooperate with Krishna can go, and they can try to exploit one another and exploit the material resources, which is basically demoniac life anyway. It can be polished up, it can be given a veneer of piety, but basically the life of exploiting this world and exploiting and abusing one another is demoniac life. So it's appropriate that such demons come to this world. This is where they belong. That's what anybody who's here, that's basically what they're for. They're here for. To exploit, to enjoy separate from Krishna. So Krishna makes all arrangements and gives all facility, all allowance. Go ahead, it's your world, this is what you want. Make a mess of it, enjoy yourself. And see what happens. So demons, big and small, are given by the Supreme Lord's sanction, by his will. He wills it. Okay, try to enjoy this world. Enjoy with your friends and fight with your enemies. Live your life the way you want to live it and see what happens. See the consequences. See how it makes you happy and satisfied. That in general is the plan of the material world. Of course, when we study from the Srimad Bhagavatam what actually happens, we may read some other literature that glorifies the demons. That shows how it's actually nice to be a criminal, to be a demon. There are such literatures. But this literature does the opposite. By studying the stories as told by Srimad Bhagavatam, these are exciting stories, adventures. The kind of thing you would park your children in front of, you know, on the TV on Saturday morning to watch some cartoon, some adventures. So this is also interesting entertainment. But it doesn't serve only that purpose, to entertain. We learn from hearing these stories, these histories, that we shouldn't want to be like Hiranyakashipu. We should try to be like Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu, in the end, is destroyed. Everything he accomplished is dragged down. And he's ripped to shreds. Is that what you want? You want to be disemboweled by the Supreme Lord in person? Is that the perfection of your life? Okay. But if we're intelligent, we'll read that and say, okay, I don't want to do that. Look at this other person, Prahlad. Although he did go through tribulations, he had a hard time, thanks to his father. In the end, and even while he was subject to so many tortures, so much harassment, he seemed that he was satisfied. He was enjoying himself. Prahlad later said, after he was rescued, he told Nrsimhadev, I'm not afraid of this material world. Yes, you saved me, but not what I'm concerned about is not the terrors of the material world. I've seen them. My father has exposed me to all the worst terrors. He's tried to kill me in so many ways. I know how you can suffer in the material world. I've seen it in front, you know, in person. But O Supreme Lord, I'm not afraid of whatever the material world can unleash on me. Tadvirya Gayanamahamita Mognachitas. Why? How can I just ignore all these torments? The things that have been horrible things that my father has done to me, how come they didn't affect me? Because my heart, my mind, is all the time fully immersed. Mahamrita, in the greatest ecstasy. And that is the ecstasy of Tvadvirya Gayana. I'm always singing, remembering, chanting, hearing Tvadvirya about your prowess. So compared to your prowess, all the prowess that this Hiranyakashipu can show is nothing. I'm not impressed by anything Hiranyakashipu can do, because I'm remembering what you do. And being absorbed in that ocean of ecstasy, I'm not in pain, even while being abused by my father. I'm not disturbed. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I'm not afraid of this material world. But, Shochi, still I'm in anxiety. Why? If nothing can disturb you, why are you in anxiety? Shochi tato, vimukache tasa indriyarta maya sukaya varam udvahato vimudan. I'm in anxiety about these stupid conditioned souls who are chasing after illusory sense gratification. And for a few drops of happiness, they're incurring so much suffering. Why should they suffer like that, in the birth after birth in the material world? This causes me anxiety. And he also told Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrsimhadev, that I don't want to go back to Godhead by myself. Unless I can deliver all the conditioned souls, I'm not ready to go back to Godhead. So this is the attitude of Prahlad. We read about that in Srimad Bhagavatam. We may not be able to live up to that standard. That may be too much. We can't be Prahlad Maharaj. Nor should we expect that our children are going to be Prahlad Maharaj. Then they'll just rebel if we demand that much out of them. It's an impossible ideal standard. But at least we learn the lesson. We can't become Prahlad. But we'll at least get the idea, I should try to be like Prahlad and not like Hiranyakashipu. That much we should learn. You know, I should move in that right direction and away from the bad direction. I was born in Rakshasa civilization. We Westerners were born in Rakshasa civilization. I don't know what to call the Indian civilization. It's also corrupt in its own way, modern Indian civilization. Some other species. I was, whatever I am, I was born in a degraded situation in Kali Yuga. Please, engage me in your service anyway. I don't want to be like Hiranyakashipu, or like any of these great demons, or even a little demon. Even though I'm demoniac by nature, Prahlad was praying like that. I'm born in a demoniac family, therefore I have all bad tendencies. I'm envious, I'm greedy. Prahlad is saying this about himself. How am I going to serve you? How am I going to serve your devotee Narada? But please, empower me. Protect me so that I can somehow do some service. So with that attitude of helplessness and dependence on the Lord, we will get His mercy if He chooses. He's likely to choose to give us His mercy. That we can learn from Srimad Bhagavatam. Not that we're going to try to imitate Prahlad, or maybe some really foolish person is going to read about Hiranyakashipu and want to become like him. Imitate Hiranyakashipu. That is not advised. And it's not advised to artificially try to be a Paramahamsa like Prahlad. But seeing the example of both of them, we should pray to the Lord, please let me be engaged in your service in some capacity. Don't let me be demoniac. Don't let me rebel against you and work against your purposes. Let me at least, whatever I can do, whatever little I can do, let me do it for you instead of against you. That we can learn from Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Yes.
Didn't Madhvacharya, as you were speaking about how the demons are quite interested in physical strength, but didn't Madhvacharya also advocate to his disciples that they should be
I don't know what he. I don't remember what he told his disciples about that, but in his own life, he was very interested in physical culture. That was his personality. I don't know if he. Maybe you know. I don't know if he preached it to his disciples that they should all, you know, do muscle building also. But he did it. He walked a lot and he did exercises and he was very powerful, physically. But that's his individual. That's his individual personality. Why? Because he's. Incarnation of the son of Vayu, the wind god, the most powerful, physically powerful of the demigods. Incarnation of the son of Vayu. His two brothers are Bhima and Hanuman. So being such a person, he's going to naturally be a strong man. But I don't know if he preached to his disciples that they should all be like that too. Maybe. And what I've seen in the Madhvites are not that physically strong, most of them. Yeah, the Carnatic men, they have big faces, but their bodies are not that strong. They're well fed, you know, they're not weaklings, but they're not great, heroic, powerful men, most of them. Yes?
I was going to say, so, Madhvacharya is not an incarnation of Hanuman, some say.
Who says that? Hanuman, he's the other one, the third son of Vayu. There are three sons in Kali Yuga. Not even Kali Yuga. Hanuman appeared before Treta Yuga. Hanuman, Bhima, and Madhvacharya are supposed to be three brothers. Okay? He's a representative because, you know, he's just like empowered by Hanuman because his older brother is empowering him. Okay? Anything else? Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Hare Krishna.